The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Road tolls all over the country are set to increase in January, the M50 increasing its fee by over 9%. Only the Port Tunnel in Dublin will remain unchanged. Now, to talk about all of this, Sinn Féin spokesperson for Climate Communications and Transport, and that's Darren O'Rourke, and Shane O'Donoghue, editor of CompleteCar.ie. Good morning and welcome to you both. Now, let's talk to you, Shane, first of all, for the effect this may have on motorists.
Morning, Pat. Yes, I mean, it's going to be unwelcome, like all increases that we're experiencing in every part of our lives at the moment. I just wonder, will it have an effect that it won't actually bring increase the revenue or won't continue revenue for the toll operators, but it might divert traffic away from the tolls more than has been happening. There is already some evidence of that around the country. We had a few commentators on Twitter there a minute ago saying that, for instance, in Limerick, there's already a lot of people avoid the tunnel toll there and go through the city, and they think that's going to increase that further. So I'm not sure it's going to do the thing that it's designed to do, which is continue the profits for the toll companies, but it's going to divert traffic.
What do you make of the claim that, they need to maintain these roads? They take a fair battering every year. So therefore, and not all roads are tolled, of course, but these particular roads are, and they are maintained to a good standard. They need the cash.
I'm not convinced by that argument at all. I mean, most of the tolls that this affects are operated by PPP, a public-private partnership, and there is a mechanism in place where they're allowed to apply to the Transport Infrastructure Ireland organisation for an increase, and that's allowed within inflation. But those increases are designed to maintain profits. Those are organisations that are making profits from these tolls. And we've seen it in the past that there is already an agreement in place, which we can't do much about right now. But, these agreements are designed to maintain profits for organisations. It isn't just about maintaining roads.
Now, we went into these deals at a time when the country was stony broke, many of them anyway. And the idea was that the state didn't have to do much, but these private companies did, on the basis that they would make a return. So they invested their capital, in order to make a profit. Some of them had sunset clauses, others not. I'm not sure how many of them. I don't have the detail. Perhaps Darren can help us there. But certainly some bridges were, paid for over and over again, I would suspect.
Well, yeah, initially the M50 toll bridge was such a thing. It isn't anymore. But yeah, you would suspect that the infrastructure that has been put in place and that was invested in by the private industry, that should have been well paid by now. And really now it's about maintaining profits. And we saw through the lockdown and pandemic as well, where the agreements that were in place between as part of the PPPs meant that because the traffic flow was lower through the tolls during the lockdown, the companies weren't making the same profits, but that was protected. So the government had to actually, or the taxpayer, I should say, had to pay them more. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. How much diversion, though, is possible? I mean, the M50, try to divert off that, although the M50 can be a car park at rush hour or rush hours. There are many of them. Try to divert off. You won't be much faster.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, some of the tolls are difficult to divert off, but some of them aren't such a big deal, really. I mean, the M7, you might add 5-10 minutes to your journey. It probably isn't that difficult to divert off it, and you're going through Mount Rath, which isn't crazily built up and crazy traffic. And, things like the Enfield toll, again, that one's very, very expensive. So there's a big incentive there for people to avoid it. Each of the tolls are different. The M50 is probably the hardest one to divert around. But as you say, M50 traffic has gone really bad lately. It's almost back to pre-pandemic levels and people are finding that slow anyway.
Yeah. The Port Tunnel not increasing its prices. But then, of course, at peak times, they have a fairly draconian 10 euro price. At off-peak times, then it's more modest. But at off-peak times, you do save a few minutes, but not that many minutes in off-peak, because you can motor your way through Drumcondra and Whitehall and get to your destination almost as quickly.
Yeah, I mean, the Port Tunnel is a great piece of infrastructure, and when you need it, it is brilliant. There's nothing like it, to be honest, in terms of saving time. And it is easier for people as well, especially people that are unfamiliar with North Dublin that you just mentioned there. It is much easier way to get from the north of the city into the port, etc. So, but thankfully, they haven't increased prices. But those prices are already quite high, aren't they? So I think there's not much manoeuvrability there in that.
Yeah. All right. So you think some people will divert and therefore the income will not rise, but there tends to be a kind of a compliance with many people. They just shrug their shoulders and sigh and pay up.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, some people just won't see that there's an alternative, especially people, especially commuters, I think. And there are the people this is going to hit the hardest. People who are using the toll both ways in a day, you know, going to work in the morning, coming home from work in the evening. So these people don't have time to be diverting, I suppose. These people have busy lives as well. They have families at home, probably going to childcare. They're trying to rush home in the evening to spend some time with loved ones. They don't have the time, so they probably will just end up paying. And it's just another increase in the cost of living that you have to put up with.
All right. Shane, thank you very much. Editor of CompleteCar.ie, Shane O'Donoghue. Darren O'Rourke, what's to be done, Darren? They have, a contract that says they can increase prices in line with inflation up to a particular ceiling, up to a particular maximum.
Well, I think, Pat, in the first instance, government need to think about this policy of toll roads and the costs associated with them from the perspective of the efficient use of our existing road network. I think it's clear to everybody that we need now to think in economic, but just not just in economic terms, but environmental terms. And I think the question needs to be asked, how our toll policy impacts on the use of our roads. And I think it's very clear, the point that Shane made there, that there will be diversion in some instances. We see it, I know, in my own area in County Meath, we see it on a daily basis, people avoiding the M1 toll and going on the N2 through Slane and Kilmoon Cross. And Kilmoon Cross is on the traffic bulletins every morning. Of course, that has significant implications in terms of planned roads improvements and the impact on national and minor roads. And the same on the M3, we see people avoiding the M3 toll and going on the N3 and getting caught up at the Ferry House Road. So there's an impact there in terms of how efficiently our roads are used and the impact that tolling has on that. And I think it's really important to say as well that, you know, in many cases, people don't have the alternatives. They don't have the alternatives in terms of public transport or active travel. And this serves as an additional cost on top of the cost of petrol, diesel, insurance, increase in cost of buying a car in the first place. And at a time when we're having discussions, and I know it will come up in the Dáil today about, you know, why we can't get teachers or nurses or people to work in the cities, if we're increasing the cost on them, it's only going to act as a further deterrent.
The theory is that you increase these costs so people who don't have to go somewhere by car along these roads don't go. Remote working and all of that, staying at home. A lot of people like that because it saves them a fortune even before these rises. But for many people, there is no alternative. Public transport is not really an option. I'll read you one text here. A family member's daily commute takes 30 to 45 minutes each way using the M50. According to current online timetable options, the equivalent commute by public transport would take 1 hour and 40 minutes, or, you know, anywhere between that and 2 hours each way. So you're spending an extra maybe two and a half hours going by public transport rather than taking the private car. So, you know, the public transport option, which has been recommended all the time to all of us, may not be viable for many, many people, and they're stuck.
No, absolutely. And, you know, that's a point we have consistently made. Like, people are rational actors, if it makes sense economically and in terms of time, people will take the public transport option. That's proven the world over. It's proven in this country as well. But when those options aren't there, and there are so very many places that they aren't there, the only option, the practical option they have is the private car. And there is, you know, there's an ideology, I think, at the heart of government, that there's, you know, a significant investment in public and active travel, and I support that. But it's really at the expense of those who are commuting, those who are dependent on the private car. And I think the balance is not right there, and there hasn't been.
But it's, you know, very difficult because, you know, the way people have decided to live, many people living out in the countryside, because you can build a bungalow in the countryside, you know, 4,000 square feet bungalow for less than the price of maybe a two bedroom apartment close to Dublin. So people do that, but the penalty they pay is that there will be no public transport to their door.
So, and that's a reasonable point, and we have a particular spatial distribution. But also, like, you can look at very many people who have done as government have intended, or as planners would have you do, which is, and I see that in my own constituency, whether you look at Ashbourne, Dunshaughlin, Dunboyne, you know, compact growth, transport-led development. The piece that's missing is the transport, and I can point to the rail service in Navan that does exist, that we have been fighting for some time. The alternative for people is to take a bus that takes a considerable period, or to take the private car, where you know, mass transport, rail infrastructure is, you know, not intended to be there for some decades.
Darren, the reality is, of course, that you know, we're being told to go electric, even though the minister, the leader of the Green Party, Eamon Ryan, has conceded that the target of 1 million electric vehicles by 2030 is just not on. He might be wrong on that, the way the Green Party were wrong on you know, motor tax and linking it to emissions and so on, when the industry then started to make highly low emission cars and therefore the state lost huge revenue. But one way or the other, if we're driving electric cars, we'll be charging them at home by and large. There won't be revenue from excise fuels at the pump. So more and more we're going to be paying for whatever roads we use. That's the future.
Yeah, but there's a policy incoherence here, Pat, where you know, the incentives, there's penalties there for people who don't have alternatives at this point in time. And you can see on the one hand where the state, through general taxation, is not increasing its investment in the maintenance of local and regional roads or national roads in line with inflation, but the people who use those roads are now being asked to pay a toll on the basis of it needs to match inflation.
Yeah. So In fairness, though, Darren, any of those PPP roads tend to be very well maintained.
Well, I think that's a point of contention, I have to say, Pat.
No, can you point to? I've driven, obviously, doing outside broadcasts and so on. I've driven along some of them, and most of them do seem to be, all of them that I've driven along seem to be very well maintained. And maybe that's part of the contract. If you're going to get the toll, you got to keep the road ship shape.
Well, I want to. I can give the example of the M3 run through County Meath, and I know from speaking to area engineers and senior roads engineers in the area that they are of the opinion that model hasn't delivered well in terms of standards. That they, you know, they have a responsibility to maintain some of, particularly the link roads or the onto those motorways, and they're of the opinion that they shouldn't have had any maintenance to do on those roads for 10 years. But because of the quality of the build, because of the PP model, and maybe standards being lower than they would have been otherwise if it was paid for through general taxation, they're of the opinion and stated clearly to me, at least, that they feel they require more maintenance than they would
I would have thought,
been.
Though, Darren, in fairness, that those engineers, county engineers or whatever, would have had to sign off on these motorways at the conclusion of construction before they were given the nod to open. I would have thought that would be part of the local brief.
Well, again, as you know, Transport Infrastructure Ireland have the remit in terms of the sign off of the national roads infrastructure. But I think, you know, and I'm not contesting the point that I drive the motorways and they're generally in good condition. But they're also these companies, and I know related to the M3 as well. The M3 company reported an 11 million euro profit this year in the last number of weeks. It has had a guaranteed income from the people and commuters of County Meath and in the northwest, further in the northwest, since it opened.
Do you think? No company's going to go into business if it's not going to make a profit. So do you have an idea of what the percentage profit on turnover should be for these companies, and should there be a ceiling?
Well, I think there, you know, that's something that could and should be explored. I think when these contracts were entered into, I don't think anybody expected that the rate of inflation would be in the region of 9-10%. So that's something that does need to be considered and explored. But I would also make the point that the state, more broadly through general taxation, has a responsibility to invest in the national, local, and regional roads, and it's not doing that to a sufficient standard. And I know within government that there are contentions. My colleague Claire Curran, spokesperson on rural affairs, has made the case for increased investment in the LIS, the local roads and local lanes scheme. And there's contentions within government around securing additional funding for that. Right. And I believe that's an ideological point. And we do need.
Why would this business of ideological points that you keep on making? What local politician, what local TD would not want to improve their local roads? Improve local roads mean more votes. So why would they not want to do it? I'm not sure ideology comes into it at all. They want to deteriorate local roads ideologically. Now, that does not make sense.
No, and that's not the point I'm making. The point I'm making is that at central government level, where the funding comes for the LIS scheme, the funding has not been made available because the prioritisation in investment is towards public and active travel, a point in principle which I support. But what I am saying is that the extent to which the investment has been moved away from the maintenance of roads is too aggressive, is too extreme. And we're living with the consequence of that now, because the response from government is to shift the burden onto commuters who don't have alternatives.
Right. We will leave it there. Darren, thank you very much for joining us. That's Darren O'Rourke, Sinn Féin spokesperson on climate communications and transport.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.